On this episode, we came out of the East Coast with a victory, some more extracurriculars, Will has a bone to pick, and round two goes Saturday. Crack those cold ones, Argos fans. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. And joining us, as always, our resident historian and local man who yells at clouds right now, from ArgoFans.com, the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
It's too hot outside to yell at clouds. But you can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans and at www.argofans.com.
And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Survey says, one more for the good guys. You can find me on Twitter at WB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Just do a search, you'll find them. And our merch store is still open with the law firm t-shirt, doublebluorder.ca.
Well, we had a damn good game on Saturday in Wolfville, Nova Scotia.
It was quite chippy.
Yes. There were some extracurriculars that started before the game. The game got going, and fans, the 10,000 fans in attendance were not disappointed. Well, some of them probably were with the outcome, but as far as
game?
As far as a game, it was a damn good game. Argos went down early, but had a really good second quarter to lead 17-14 at the half. Went up a little bit further in the third, and Saskatchewan stormed back before the hero, Winton McManus, picks a Cody Fajardo pass and returns it all the way to the house. McLeod Bethel Thompson, 26 of 37, 276 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Not much rushing. Andrew Harris, 15 carries, 39 yards. They stifled him pretty good. McLeod Bethel Thompson had five rushes for 32. Receiving, Cam Phillips led the way, 6 for 6, 94 yards and a touchdown. DeVaris Daniels, 5 for 5, 70 yards and a touchdown. Curly Gittens Jr. had four catches on 7 attempts, 39 yards. Andrew Harris, 3 for 25. Brandon Banks, 3 for 24. And Markeith Ambles, 5 for 24.
That's a rough average. That's a rough year average for Cat. Lee.
Yeah. But hey, they got the job done.
They did.
And goddamn, that defense played. I think the defense did exactly what we said they needed to do on our show. Somehow we prognosticated very well, Will.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? But for one run, they kept Jamal Morrow to 26 yards on 10 carries. They sacked Cody Fajardo five times. And there's nothing wrong with
five times.
Twice by Sean Oakman, once by Jagera Davis, once by Robbie Smith, and once by Jamal Peters.
And what's great about that, four of those sacks from our defensive linemen.
Yep.
And a couple of those sacks when they were only rushing three or four players.
Yep, the Robbie Smith one. That was big on the last drive there.
Enoch Mwamba, right near to where his where he played his college ball. Not quite there, but pretty close. Six tackles led the way for the Argos, but it was a very, very team-oriented day. Winton McManus, only two tackles, one special team tackle, and obviously that great interception for a touchdown. It was a very good day.
Chris Edwards returned to the lineup.
Yes. And he was fired up. I was shocked when I look at this. He only had four tackles. I thought he had more. He seemed like he was in on so many plays.
The good. The bad. The ugly.
Well, I guess it's that time. Doug, since we're always I'm going to give Doug the first crack every show he's on this year, because all the other years we've stepped right all over him. So, Doug, you start us off, good, bad, or ugly?
Well, we can start right off with the good, I suppose. Just go right with the name. My good is obvious, and should be obvious for you two guys as well. The play of the defense, just absolute lights out.
Yeah, and as if anybody read Don Landry's article, his takeaways, takeaways from the week in the CFL, so the Toronto defense has entered the chat and laid a shit kicking on Saskatchewan. As far as other good goes, I mean, McLeod Bethel-Thompson had a decent day. I was really impressed that he was throwing the ball downfield.
Yep.
He's getting better at that. So I think they just need to keep with that. And dear God, Loffer might end up being the quarterback that we had the overly lofty goals for.
The quarterback that every single Argo fan wants him to be, which is like Ricky Ray or Damon Allen or any number of friggin' Hall of Fame quarterbacks we've had in the last 40 plus years.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, since sort of that second half in the Winnipeg game, he's been pretty darn good. He did miss a few throws in the fourth quarter, but, you know, he's – and the one interception he threw was a punt, basically. So,
yeah.
You know, really, he's been solid.
Will, do you have any other good for this week?
It was nice to see Cam Phillips emerge a little bit. You know, six catches, 94 yards, including the 40-yard bomb from Loffram. Hopefully he and Loffram can develop some chemistry moving forward.
Yeah, I have made no secret that I have not been a fan of Cam Phillips. You know, I think I even told you at the last Argos home game, Will, that the minute somebody's healthy, he's gone. But
not now.
Since I made that comment,
yep,
he's winning me over.
Well, you also have to like MBT going back to the bomb on the next throw. I mean, Banks drops well. He doesn't survive contact with the Ryder defender. Then the next play goes back to Phillips, you know, deep for the touchdown. you know, the Riders were committed to stopping Andrew Harris, so they probably left some holes in their coverage, but you know, it's nice to see him go back to that. Have confidence in his receivers. And I did have one other thing to add. Understated play in the game was, I can't remember if the Riders were driving necessarily, but it was second and eight, or whatever you want to say, second and six. Fajardo dumped it off to Jamal Morrow, who, you know, ran it downfield a little bit, runs into a brick wall called Henock Mwamba, who, you know, but the most important part of the play is Morrow doesn't, he just runs with a brick wall, literally. You know, he doesn't fall forward to make it third and one, third and two. You know, the play is third and long, or it was third and two, and then Saskatchewan had the punt.
Yep. I think, you know, plays like that kind of got lost in there were all kinds of great plays in this game, and I think you have a tendency to lose sight of some of those great defensive plays like that. And I mean, that's an Henock Mwamba trademark. You know, he is a brick wall when you run into him, and he's going to get that leverage to make sure that you're standing right up and not going forward any chance he can get. Oh, bad in this game.
The snapping of Justin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, there is some bad we can go through.
What, one of those snaps is gonna cost the Argos huge.
Yeah, he's
seriously got to work on that, because I know there was a couple people, and I was going through my mind. It's like, help us, Obi-Wan Nicastro. You're our only hope.
Well, they cut Zamora a couple weeks ago, who was the backup center. I really don't want to have Phillip Blake doing that job. But, I mean, the play of the offensive line on Saturday wasn't egregious. I mean, they didn't do a good job opening holes for Harris, but they were pretty good in pass protection. But something's got to give with that. Because, yeah, that high snap, I think, the Argos were driving on one of those.
Yeah, they were.
They not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that Zamora release is a sign that Nicastro will be back soon, but who knows? He's got.
Well, they six-gamed him. He's not practicing yet. But that's as far as that's as much as I know of what's going on with him, because I haven't been out of practice. I haven't seen anybody make mention that he's out there working out in the sidelines, because that's usually the precursor to them, to the player coming back, is they're out with the players at practice, but they're, you know, working out on their own on the side.
Yeah, well, we could always put it to one of our friends of the show who do have more of an inside.
Well, Ben and JB do have the opportunity to go to practice more than we do, so they can see some of that stuff. I haven't seen anything come. I'm pretty sure that if they've had a sighting of him at practice, that we'll definitely see that come out. Because I think they're not overly joyed with the snapping of Justin Lawrence either. Bad for me. I'm kind of teetering on whether this falls into the ugly that we're all going to talk about in a minute, but they're still taking some pretty stupid penalties.
Yep.
You know, the the offsides that they're taking when they really shouldn't be taking those, you know, lack of discipline. So we'll call that, and then we'll get into the other stuff in a minute.
There was a whole hell of a lot of lack of discipline in this game. I think more from one side over the other.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't want our side to rise to that.
Oh, no, of course. Oh, no, of course not.
No, we're not innocent of that. And I think with that, we're into the ugly at this point then.
Well, I do have a bat. I mean, I do have a bat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm going special teams in general here. I get it was windy, but I mean, Boris Beattie does miss a field goal late that would have tied the game. And fortunately, no, Whitney McManus gets the pick six. There were two kickoffs out of bounds. Yeah, there was a kickoff out of bounds that gave Saskatchewan a short field that they scored on. And then, Hagerty, instead of kicking the ball out at, you know, inside the five, it goes into the end zone for a single point and gives Saskatchewan good field position on which they scored. And again, our kick return and punt returns really did nothing of note. You know, it's so much so to the point that Brandon Banks was back there. And I mean, that's not, I mean, it's not 2015 anymore.
No, he's not the same returner. He's still dangerous as a receiver, but he just doesn't seem to have that same burst of energy as a returner.
He's got to hang on to the ball, and how many times did McLeod look his way and he didn't come down with the catch?
Well, let's look here. He had 10 balls thrown his way. He caught 3.
Yeah, that's not a good ratio.
No. And albeit, like, we're talking seven incompletions his way. I would say half of those are on Brandon Banks. The other half, you know, I know there was one that I thought was a complete drop, the one in the end zone right before he went to Cam Phillips.
Yeah.
But once he saw the replay, there was actually a decent play by the defender.
It was, but you still want your guy to come down with it.
Yeah, and there were a couple of those. He's got to be better.
I'm pretty sure he knows that.
Yep. Well, you've seen the frustration on you know, it's bubbling over. With Brandon Banks, he doesn't hide anything. So, yeah, teams are keying on him a lot right now just because he's Brandon Banks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, once we get, you know, I mean, the emergence of Cam Phillips is probably going to help him out. But I think Brandon Banks, we're not going to see like 1,000-yard Brandon Banks with this Argos team just because everybody's been, you know, going at him and making sure you got one of the best cover guys on him every time. You know, we'll probably see a 500-600 yard, and I think that'll be 500-600 yard season out of him. And I would consider that a productive season for what he's been asked to do in the situation that he's in. Would I like 1,000 yards? Goddamn right.
Of course. You know what else? Who wouldn't? Well, maybe defenses.
But at this stage of the career, it's wishful thinking.
Yeah. Now, the ugly got started even before the goddamn game started.
Boy, was it ugly.
And yeah, everybody's seen it by now, the little altercation between Shaq Richardson and Duke Williams, where we saw Duke Williams swinging Shaq Richardson's helmet at him. There's also been allegations that Duke Richardson spat on Shaq Richardson. And unfortunately, those extracurriculars didn't end at the beginning of the game. Several times during the game, you saw players getting right into it with each other. We had several misconduct penalties. I can't remember what they're calling it this year, but and down to one of our players being ejected with seconds left in the game.
That was Jamal Peters, right?
Yeah.
He wanted to hit the showers early. Wanted to beat the rush.
He's probably worried about the amount of hot water, so he wanted it in before the rest of the
rush. Probably.
Oh.
And I'm going to get this out of the way because, you know, Shaq's got to be, I mean, getting a helmet swung at you, like, you know, I've never been in his shoes like that, so I can't say, but, you know, there were a few plays in the game that could have, you know, there was a pass breakup in the end zone where he kind of kicked at the guy, like, that could have been penalized. You know, he's
probably should have been penalized, to be perfectly honest.
Right, yeah. I mean, he should have been penalized. So he's got to be, I guess.
He's got to be a lot more disciplined.
Yeah, he got riled up, I get it, but he's got to be more disciplined. He's a leader in that secondary. And he's a very, you know, he's one of the more valuable players on the team.
And he's got to start acting like it.
Yeah.
You know, I get getting heated. But, and I can't believe I'm going on. Is this the third show in a row?
Ow.
That I've got problems with these guys, that they can't live up to a professional standard that a 14-year-old football player can? I know it's at least the third show this season that we're getting to that. And, like, these guys are pros. They need to start acting like it. You know? I saw a tweet earlier today, and I can't remember who it's by, but it was somebody talking about the macho attitude in football, where players have to be the toughest guy, and you can't take anything lying down. You can't walk away from anything. And in reality, you probably have about, you know, maybe 4 or 5% of the players that are legitimately in that headspace, and everybody else just doing that because that's what they think it's expected out of them. Honestly, be a man and walk away. Let the other people get penalized. Like, at this point, they just need to be grown-ups and be the bigger person. You're going to hurt them worse on the scoreboard, on the stat sheet if you're the defense. Same on the scoreboard if you're the defense. You're going to hurt them worse that way than by fighting with somebody. And fighting in football is one of the stupidest things on the planet. Anyway, you're wearing equipment and things that you're going to hurt yourself on.
It doesn't make sense.
No. You know, like, it's idiotic. It's stupid. It doesn't do anything. And in the end, you're more likely to hurt your team than do anything positive for yourself. So this Argo team needs to step up and be men, be professionals, be grown-ups. And Will, I believe you had, you know, something that went along with these extracurriculars that we know have to be gotten rid of, which came out of the mouth of Glenn Suter.
Yeah. You know, look, I understand that color commentators by, you know, they're usually former players, former coaches. So they had to have played for somebody. You know, I get that. And, you know, we all know who Glenn Suter played for his entire CFL career. But if you can't stay objective during Ryder games, then Dwayne Ford needs to be calling those games. And, you know, I acknowledge he was an Argo, but, you know, he played for more than one team. I mean, if you look at the Oakman hit, which was controversial in Rider Nation, nowhere else it seemed, so much so to the point where Ticat fans were defending the Argo on it.
And then they themselves were being sold, yeah, being told, yeah, but Simone's dirty.
Yeah.
That's not the argument here, Sunshine.
And, you know, Glenn Suter was looking for any excuse to say that hit was dirty. And, you know, throughout the game, you just listened to both him and Rob Smith and Glenn Suter. You know, they couldn't – you could tell they wanted Saskatchewan to win. And then sort of at the end where The first thing Suter says when McManus scored was, oh, but there's still plenty of time on the clock. Would he have said that if it had been Saskatchewan going up 30-24? Like, Glenn, I know emotions were hot in this game, but you got to be better.
Yeah.
Be quite honest, if I wanted biased commentary, I would tune into Rangers TV on an old firm. Be quite honest, that coverage is that coverage is better than what Sky.
It's the kind of commentary I expect from Michael Ball on the Ryder propaganda broadcast. Speaking of people who put their foot in their mouth all week.
Yeah. And Suter, in the last couple years, has started letting – he did a good job, you know, in the middle of his broadcasting career, not being as much of a Saskatchewan homer. But in the last few years, he is really – let some of the objectivity go.
Some.
Would you say it corresponds with Cuthbert leaving?
Possibly. I think the stuff that Cuthbert brought to the table may have been a little bit more than anybody realizes. You know, when you're the play-by-play guy, you're kind of running the show. And, you know, Rod Smith just, I don't think he has that something that, you know, he just, it's like trying to get a motivational speech from Pinball. You don't even need to have him actually speak. You just need to hold up a picture of Pinball and you're motivated. Chris Cuthbert, just by him being there, he just kind of inspired everybody to be better broadcasters around him. And I don't think we have anybody that really inspires that at this moment in time. Will we get there? Probably. But I don't think that we have that at this moment in time. Now, some of the other extracurriculars that you mentioned, there are some of the other stuff that went along with this game, you know, the so-called controversial hit that I'm still trying to, like...
No, it's not, like, controversial my ass. They were trying to manufacture one.
Yeah, and... He was held down on the ground, and he grabbed Cody Fajardo's leg. Now, if you're literally just looking at the black and white of it, which is, I mean, and the, if you're looking at the headlines of the rules, right? Not allowed to hit the quarterback below the knees. Okay, but there are certain exceptions to that, and what Oakman did was an exception.
Forcibly.
You know, he was forcibly held down. He didn't really do anything other than hug his leg. And, you know, just because the man can, you know, squeeze the life out of anything without even trying, and Cody tried to yank and turn and do everything he could to try and get away from that, and probably didn't help his injured knee at that point when he was twisting his leg all around and Oakman wasn't moving.
Why did he stay in the game? Kind of got to question that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, he's faking it, but, you know, like, why would you want a potential, you know, knee injury to become more serious?
It, and that's on the coaching.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you got to recognize that, you know, yes, Cody Fajardo wants to be out there, wants to play, wants to do everything to try and help his team win. But he was probably he's probably hurting them further in the long term.
And please explain how there could be roughing the passer when
don't get me started about the reffing. Don't get me started.
Well,
although I know you're going to, so continue.
Shane Ray got penalized, and it was late. I mean, it was late for sure. Like, you know, if you look at it that way. But Cody Fajardo also got penalized for being over the line of scrimmage. He could be considered a runner at that point. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be something that's what we all understand, but there may be some nuance to the rule that we haven't read that they made adjust. But at the same time, like, that's Just because he threw the ball, he's not a passer. He threw the ball illegally.
I think fortunately Saskatchewan still had the punt on that drive, but.
Yeah, that was ugly. That was.
Yeah.
You know what I think the CFL needs to do?
What?
Is have someone like, you know, have somebody from CFL.ca sit down with the, you know, the lead referees or the people, you know, the league's head ref, whatever it is, and just kind of explain some of those calls in an article, like, you know, why this was called this way, or this was called this way, however, on further review, you know, something like that, just to give some a little bit of clarity to some of these things that, I mean, they were going to yell about. But who knows? There might be something that we don't know. That
when officials ever been accountable to anybody?
In the CFL? Never.
Well, in many, many leagues.
Yeah.
You know, but baseball.
The only reason I suggest that is because I seem to remember that there has been one or two articles like that in the history of the CFL on CFL.ca. But I think bringing back something like that, especially with some of these rule changes that they're making, that, you know, as fans, we may not totally understand, or we may interpret what we've read differently than what the referees are told to interpret it as.
Definitely rings a bell.
This is why I think the CFL needs a referee like a Nigel Owens or a Wayne Barnes, to use rugby as an example. Because both of them know the laws of the game, they've explained the laws of the game to the players on the field. And the referees in rugby matches are mic'd up. So the fans also know, the fans watching at home also know what's going through their minds as they come to a judgment. We don't have that in the CFL. Hell, you don't have that in the NFL either, to be fair, but you don't have that in gridiron football. The referees are only mic'd up for the final decision, not for the lead up into the final decision.
Unless you're that one guy who always forgot to turn off his mic.
Well, yeah, but that's different.
The best is when he blows the whistle into the microphone. But go on.
Yeah, that was bad. That hurt. No, I think it would do the league some good to bring something like that back, even if it's, you know, former referee who's moved up to be the league's top official, because they always seem to do that.
Glenn Johnson, for example.
Yes.
Glenn Johnson.
You know, but there's been several referees who have done that in the CFL, and, you know, having that, you know, explained, you know, maybe not every single one, but, you know, four or five calls in a week.
Like either that, or even the ones that have been challenged, or the ones that the command center goes through.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I'm not saying they have to give you an explanation on everything. But, I mean, every week you can think of, you know, five calls that you'd like them to elaborate on why it was called that way, or the way it should have been called. And, like, it's, I swear there was at least a couple articles on CFL.ca. I don't know how long ago, but they did do that at one point. And they need to bring that back. Now, I don't even know where we go with punishment for what Duke Williams did.
Nothing if you're Craig Dickinson.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, some of Duke Williams' best friends are helmets.
Crashed helmets in some cases.
Oh. And now this is also the third accusation that he spit on other players.
And what's worse...
And the plot thickens with this one.
Yes. What's worse is they have COVID in Writer's Camp.
Mm-hmm. So far, we escaped that. But the writers had to cancel practice. So, yeah, COVID players and team officials and... Yeah, lots of people with COVID there. It's not good.
If they're going to be in isolation for the minimum 5 days, they announced it, what, Monday?
Yep.
Which means that team ain't going to be ready for Saturday.
Well, the whole team's not in isolation.
No, it's anybody
at least not yet.
But the people that they're not haven't released any of the names of anybody who is currently undergoing, at least not to the public. My guess is they probably have made the league aware.
And the league might be scrambling to figure out what the hell to do.
Yeah, because depends on how many people come down with it. Saskatchewan may not be maybe fielding a very undermanned team.
If they can field one at all.
And to be totally honest, Saskatchewan's already fighting through a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, feel like it's our emergency goalie game, you know, like the Leafs lost to the...
Yeah, that stop. There are still people in on this broadcast who have PTSD from that, Will. You will not mention that.
Are you trying to say that the BMO grounds crew is going to be called up by the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
I think they're too busy trying to, you know,
get this grass in shape for the World Cup.
No, trying to help Toronto FC actually win a game.
Yeah, when's this dude gonna ever play?
I don't know, and I really don't care.
And then they brought in another Italian.
Yeah, it's the first sighting of Bill Manning in almost, what, a year and a half?
A couple times, and yeah. Oh. Well, moving on, we got round two of the Riders this Saturday. This time in Saskatchewan.
And I have a feeling it's going to be, there's going to be some flashpoints in this one, too.
Oh, yeah. I believe that there's going to be flags flying pretty early and liberally in this game.
I actually think the referee, I think the refs might actually might give a bench warning to both sides, like right off the hop.
Oh yeah. 100%.
I picture it like the scene in Slapshot final game. I can't, well, it's kind of ruined because I don't remember the script. But
just as long as No Neck Bradbury isn't involved.
Thumbery.
I prefer calling him No Neck.
But
No Neck Thumbery, we'll combine them.
Okay. I went on the road. Legitimizes, well, it helps to legitimize the Argos. The road of Saskatchewan, they've never won in that building, and
Saskatchewan's undefeated in that building right now.
Got to set aside some of the doubters.
Yeah.
Because there's still a few lingering around.
Yeah, and hope we get some of our walking wounded healed up in time for the game. Darius Bladick is dealing with an ankle injury. Fabian Foote has got a tricep injury, didn't practice. But, other than that, I mean, you know, we're not looking too bad as far as what on the injury list here
compared to what it has been.
Yeah, and I think that's honestly a direct correlation with only playing five or four games versus Saskatchewan 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so far it's worked out.
And the Argos finally posted the 1-6 game injury list on their website.
All right. Well, I'm going to go look at it now. Let's see who we got. I know we've got a nice long 6-game injured list. One game. Yeah, 6-game. We've got some guys. Yeah, Juwan Breskison, Jack Kassar, Robertson Daniel, Dylan Giffen, Deontay Knight, Javon Leak, Peter Nicastro, AJ Ouellette, Eric Rogers.
Although Juwan did tweet out something along the lines of 2 more weeks, so he might be back soon.
Nice. Well, in round two, I think we need to do pretty much what we did in this last game. Once again, get after the quarterback.
Doesn't matter who the hell's there.
Not just pressure him. Get home.
Be a brick wall against Jamal Morrow.
Yep.
Hold the line against their defense.
Well, and I think they need to, definitely. If they're going to stack up against Andrew Harris, they need to push the ball down the field like they did this last game, because that defensive secondary for Saskatchewan is a little disjointed. They've got people playing out of position because of injuries and everything like that. So, and when you've got a team that can't practice, you want to take advantage.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, boys. We got this.
go 3-2.
Yeah. 3-2. So, well, we're obviously going to be predicting the Argos over Saskatchewan. That's a given. Much like a bunch of the CFL writers.
Yeah, which is, yeah, except for one. When what do we have to do to change his mind?
Shovel to the head? No.
No.
That would be too violent, right?
Yeah, that would be. Not, yeah, that would be just a little.
We talked about this. I'm not supposed to do that. I know.
Shovel to the head is only reserved for certain individuals, if you want to call them that.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. There had to be one, right?
Yeah. Could never be a clean sweep.
Yeah. So we've got the very rare Thursday night doubleheader this week.
Who the hell came up with that idea? Yeah, I know. I know. I'm preaching to the choir here, but.
First game of the night, Montreal at Ottawa. A battle of the what the hell are they going to put out there?
to be honest, Ottawa should have won that game. Ottawa should have the win on the record and not Hamilton.
I think Ottawa will beat Montreal.
Wow, that's bold.
Perhaps. But I get the feeling Montreal's one fucked up football team right now.
Yeah, and I'm leaning your way, Will. I think Ottawa's going to win this one. They're playing at home. So, you know, and it is big of a discipline issue as Danny Machocha said there was when he wasn't down on the sidelines. It didn't seem to change.
As soon as he, yeah, I know.
When he got down there. So, yeah. So I'm going Ottawa. Doug?
Since you guys put it that, I was leaning Montreal, but now you guys have made a convincing case for me to lean Ottawa instead. Considering the way Ottawa played, and like I said, they should have won that game. Yeah, I'm going Rouget Noir on this one.
And currently, Montreal, the betting line has Montreal at -2.5 on this one.
Ooh, I
pretty close, son.
I'd be all over Ottawa on that.
Yep. The other Thursday night game that happens out in BC, where is those fictitious felines go and play the Mountain Lions?
Right, the Mountain now, Lions should win.
To quote Joey Styles,
"Cat fight!"
Simone Lawrence is on the sixth game.
Yep. So BC's got a 7.5-point favorite. I think that's generous.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that's generous for Hamilton. I think BC's going to win this by double digits.
I think it's generous. I don't know.
I agree with you, Clay. It's going to be BC. It's going to be by 30.
Rourke has had a little bit of a rest, and I think he seems like he's that smart kid. He's gonna fix his mistakes. And Hamilton ain't good. All right, Will.
I'm picking BC.
Okay, of course. I just don't. We just had to get it on the record.
Yeah, the betting line is what I was more commenting on.
Yeah. And then on Friday evening.
Friday night football tonight.
We've got Winnipeg at Edmonton.
What's the line on that one?
Odds by BetRegal.net has it 7.5 points for Winnipeg.
That's wow. It?
Fuck, I'm hammering that.
They're giving same spread as the BC Hamilton game.
Yeah. I think they're in the same boat as a lot of them, like as a lot of us when we assumed that we were going to beat Winnipeg by 1 point, and I think we kind of assumed that Winnipeg wasn't as good as they actually are. Well, they are as good as they actually are.
Well, no, they got lucky twice. They got lucky against us, and they got lucky against Calgary. To the point where I think Bo Levi Mitchell had 2017 PTSD flashback.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a lucky game. This is going to be a... This might be a massacre.
I guess, but... Winnipeg won last year in Commonwealth, but I know that Edmonton kept it relatively close.
I think the only chance Edmonton has is the extremely unorthodox offense that they're running out there right now, sometimes having two quarterbacks on the field. When
is one of them Daron Carter?
No, he is.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's punter. No, he's defensive back.
Yep.
No, he's a linebacker. Sorry.
Well, he might
play. No, wait, hang on. No, he's what is he? Tight end, I think.
And long snapper.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Okay.
Well, Chris Jones loves to put him everywhere.
Can a long snapper punt his own ball?
I was never able to do it.
Okay. Just curious.
But I think Daron Carter's still sitting on their sixth game or something. I don't even know if he's in Canada.
Doesn't really matter at this point anyway.
Oh, and then we... So, Will, did you officially pick Winnipeg to win, or
Winnipeg will win?
Yeah.
And let's not talk about the other thing.
I mean, I'm in the same boat here. I'm picking Winnipeg to win. But don't count out the fact that the Elks have made two incredible comebacks in consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
But Winnipeg ain't Montreal or Hamilton.
I know. Yeah, I know. The Ticats are infamous choke artists, and Montreal is, well...
We have no idea what the hell Montreal
is. We have no idea what the hell they are yet, so...
I don't think they know either.
Yeah, so this is going to be a test. This will be a test for the Elks. A huge test for them. But I still think Winnipeg's going to take it and continue their unbeaten run.
Block letter over the Antler Dogs. Oh, sorry, Antler Horse. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you, Kate, the couple weeks.
I think it's more Antler Cow than Antler Horse.
Well, they were playing Calgary the 1 week, and I referred to you had the real horses versus the antler horses.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna try and keep that up for the rest of the season. Now, Will's favorite part of the show.
Oh God.
We need his regular groan on fantasy.
Another week, another shitty week of picks.
Yeah, last week we shat the bed again.
And the worst part is our bloody opponent shat the bed too.
What? How many points did you guys end up getting for fantasy?
53,
huh?
And our opponent got 58.
Yeah,
the worst part is
I alone beat you guys hollow.
That's why I asked for your input, sir.
Well, here's the thing. I don't pick my teams until the depth charts come out. Just so I don't end up getting, because I mean it's happened in the past where I've picked my team and then three quarters of it is either injured or not playing or end up being second string. But I will say this. James Butler in the flex. That's the only thing I know for certain.
Okay. Well, since I know you have scored better than us, we're putting James Butler in the flex. Quarterback.
Just let Doug pick the team this week. See what happens.
All right.
Now, here's a question with regards to the league, though. Is there a certain deadline as to when we have to pick the team? Or can we wait until the depth charts come out?
I think we can wait until the depth charts come out.
Okay.
I think Doug's asking if there's a rule in the league that we have to set our team by...
By Wednesday night or something.
But there's no way they would know.
Look, we all know that I didn't read the rules.
They wouldn't know. Though.
You didn't read the fine print when you signed the contract.
No, I just stamped. I didn't even know where I signed on the page. It's probably written across the middle of it. I didn't read nothing. I mean, I added a salary bonus that got us disqualified 1 week that they didn't even use. I mean, we wouldn't have won anyway, but.
Hey, if we're going to cheat, we cheat fair.
So, I should probably read the rules. Oh, I still haven't.
That's all I'm going to say. If we're going to cheat, we better cheat fair.
Okay.
Shout out Nigel Owens.
Okay, well, the only thing we're going to give you right now is James Butler in the flex. Doug is going to tell me his picks as soon as he makes them, and that's what we'll do. So the greatest fantasy advice you're getting this week is James Butler in the flex. He's at $9,000, so that's an expensive flex.
It is, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the years that I rode Wilder in the flex, and he just farmed points for me. This year, just based off the first couple games, James Butler is going to be farming points.
All right. Well, James Butler in the flex it is. And I think it's about that time.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
All right. New merch alert for doubleblueorder.ca. I just put it up as we were recording the podcast. A brand new mug is now available, part of the Drink the Tears of Your Enemies line. Winnipeg fans, you may want to get one of these as well. And it is very simply a Rough Rider Tears mug. Quite frank, with extra salt in some cases.
And for the next 2 days and 23 hours.
Yeah, keep in mind, we recorded this on, what is this, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday night.
Yeah. It's on for $14. Just saying.
So... We would drink the tears of your mortal enemies. Yeah, I wouldn't really consider Saskatchewan mortal enemies, but they're in this case
especially with what I'm going to be getting into shortly.
Well, in Will's eyes, they are.
Yeah, in Will's eyes, they are.
What did I? What my eyes?
Mortal. Riders are our mortal enemies.
Yes. Everybody's mortal enemy. Ever since 2007, they become everybody's mortal enemy.
Okay.
They were my mortal enemy in 2007. But.
Anyway. Based off of a suggestion from Will, I have decided to do a very special edition of the Best of Face Bitch. But it's not of who you think. For those of you who are listening for the first time, or if you don't remember the last time I did this, because I know I don't. This segment is something that I do normally after an Argo loss, but in this case, we're doing it after an Argo win. But based off of what you're going to hear, it's not who you think that I'm using. But anyway, I got this idea off my local rock station, and I thought it was hilarious, and I thought, well, what the hell? This is just no context stuff off of social media that I pick up. Everyone's going to remain anonymous for not to increase the level of butthurt across all the platforms. And since podcasts are not regulated by the CRTC, I will not be shouting any posts on social media that are in at the top. I will not any posts that are in all caps. I do not have to shout at the top of my lungs. And considering what time it is, I don't want the neighbors to be pissed off at me. So, with that said, let us begin. First one. Writer radio broadcast stated some Toronto players not in uniform were throwing up gang signs? Refs lost control of the after the play stuff, but those INTs were the game.
Gang signs?
The word life.
Hey.
Basic thugonomics. Next one.
You know, you brought up Ballsy. So anytime I hear the name Ballsy, I keep thinking of that one caller they had, Sheldon. And he threw out a comment on the radio. It's all over my windshield, Ballsy. The wife won't let me back into the house.
I would have loved to have heard his opinion on what happened, because it would have been great.
Well, Sheldon was drunk and out of his mind too, so it would have been gold. Anyway, next.
Why don't you find out all the facts before posting this garbage? Richardson didn't instigate? Take your quote-unquote goggles off. How wasn't he removed from playing? Gotta let him and his teammates cheap shot all game without repercussions?
Yeah, there was cheap shots to go around for everybody.
Yep.
No idea what he did to what started the fight, but I have no doubt in my mind that Shaq Richardson wasn't totally innocent, but it's usually how it is anyway.
No, that's not it.
I'm looking at a picture of Northern Alberta right now. and it looks like whiteout conditions.
Dang. Is it Astros?
But it's hail. It's hail.
Oh,
damn. Hail.
Yeah.
Hail, and it look, and it's a whiteout. Good lord. This tells me the league is trash. I'm a two-decade-long fan, and the inconsistency between last week and this makes me sick. I have better things to do than give them money if that's what they see. Edit, it was a deserved penalty and suspension last week, but let me guess, because it's Fajardo and the writers this week, it's not a big deal? Fucking sickening. Next one. So I missed the written announcement from the CFL this week. I know they suspended Marino for 4 games, but are the rest of the league allowed to beat up our quarterback and punch our receivers with no repercussions for 4 weeks too, or for the rest of the season?
They do know that was that the game happened on the weekend, and they posted that on Sunday, and the league office was closed on Sunday, right?
League office doesn't open up till like Monday morning. And the post was 3 days ago. So that one, two. So yeah, that was the 16th. That was Saturday. League office ain't open. Dumbasses. Next one. So player safety means nothing to the league. At least if you are in green.
No, it means plenty if you're an elk.
Exactly. if you're an elk, considering they play in green as well. Are they talking, maybe if it's a different shade? I don't
know. Yeah, it's a different shade.
Here's another one. They got hit like this multiple times while the refs all but wore Argos jerseys. Don't even start, pal. We've already gone through the shitty call of, quote-unquote, roughing the passer, even though he already got nailed for an illegal forward pass.
To quote Corey Anka on Twitter 13 minutes ago, LOL.
And I've got one more here. This one is the doozy. At CFL, at Randy Ambrosi. Almost 24 hours since a dirty low hit which targeted Cody's already injured left leg by a no-name player at I Am Oakman. But yet nothing has been said by the league or reporters. Should be minimum 2 games, but it's the writers, so it will only be a fine, if anything. Hashtag CFL.
That guy's keeps posting it every day, too. 48 hours, 72 hours.
He's going to keep on waiting because there is nothing wrong with what he did. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, if I was a coach and a defenseman lineman did what Sean Oakman did, but if the quarterback yelped and he let go, next thing you know, quarterback comes out the pocket, throws ball, touchdown. So by that logic, what is he supposed to do? Basically give the Ryder quarterback 3 steamboats before the defensive line does anything? What is this, high school? What was this? Friggin' elementary school, no, like, 5-a-side?
Since when is Sean Oakman a no-name player?
Exactly. I'd love to see them see this guy say it to his face.
I want to see who the name player is in this guy's mind. Well,
oh, we all know who the name player is. Yeah.
Apparently, Garrett Marino was a name player.
Yeah, that's one thing that kind of that's what. Yeah, so that's what I've got for best of face bitch this week.
Okay.
But yeah, like trying to compare what Garrett Marino did to what Sean Oakman did. That's like comparing apples to Pringles.
I guess they're both edible.
One is salty, the other is not.
One is a mass produced food stuff, whereas the other is actually good for you. If you're really stretching for a comparison. But if you're real, but if you want me to go even further, okay. Okay, let's go comparing apples to a 1989 Toyota Tercel.
Okay.
Yeah, the Tercel would be hard to eat.
They don't make it anymore, do they?
No. I had a Tercel as my first car.
Why is it when you're on the road and you encounter a Corolla driver, they're always driving slow?
What?
Don't know. I never had that problem in my Tercel.
Mm-hmm. Corolla drivers are always the slowest.
Well, let's see. It's a very reliant automobile.
Yeah.
You don't buy a Corolla for looks.
No, considering I think one guy, I saw like a Reddit post where one guy had a Corolla or something. Like I think it was a Corolla. 811,000 miles on the clock.
On the original engine, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculously reliable. I wish the condenser in my car was more reliable than that, as opposed to me having to change it every year. But it's under warranty, so I don't care.
I
do we have any tweets from Kazakhstan to go through?
The only tweet he did was before that there. Well, he did have one about celebrating. Wasn't very memorable, but he did make mention when the Argos showed some pictures of practicing out in the Maritimes. He says, "You should go more east. We would have a party. The whole village come out."
Yeah.
Break out the yak milk and the vodka.
Oh, it's time, and then we get some roast goat.
That sounds like a proper tailgate if I've ever heard one. And, okay, so the last thing I've got is, well, the PA put out a media release today.
Oh, God.
Entitled, no, it's not bad, but it's entitled CFLPA and Football Canada Partner to Grow Football in Canada.
Oh.
New first down grassroots program to introduce kids to sport during football weekend in Canada. That only six teams are playing. So I'll go through the thing here. It says, two of Canada's leading football stakeholders have aligned to focus on the sport's growth, learning, and safety opportunities. Football Canada and the Canadian Football League Players Association are proud to announce a new partnership designed to foster football development and growth in Canada over the next 3 years. The game of football has been life-changing for most CFLPA members, including myself, because it develops not only athletic skill but also character, fosters teamwork, and forges long-lasting relationships. This is an exciting opportunity to partner with Football Canada as we work together over the coming years to grow the game and get more youth in Canada learning and playing football, said Sully Elamimian, the CFLPA president. The first step in the strategy is a project focused on youth aged 4 to 8 years old. The Football Canada First Down program gets kids their first interaction with the game of football over 8 sessions. The PA of Football Canada will conduct one-day first down sessions during football weekend in Canada from September 16th through the 18th. Dates, times, and locations will be announced throughout August. The one-day event is free of charge. First down requires no previous football experience, and it was developed as an excellent non-contact introduction to the basics of the sport. It's our goal to get a record number of kids exposed to the sport for the first time during football weekend in Canada, said Jim Mullen. I can't think of a better way for our sport to be introduced to kids and their families than with a CFLPA ambassador participating in the instruction of the first down program. In addition to this initiative, the PA and Football Canada have committed to partnering on programming for coaching certification for current CFLPA members, sport-wide safety initiatives, and promoting the sport through Football Canada events to grow the game. The Canadian football community can expect more announcements from this partnership in the coming months. Throughout our discussions with Football Canada over the last 2 years, we have found that we share much in common. Both organizations share a passion for the game and are focused on growing football while centering on the athletes' well-being. We know we can do a lot more by working together, said Brian Ramsey, the executive director of the PA. Now, I find it strange that the PA was the one to get involved in this and not the league itself. Anyone else find that a little weird?
Oh, yes and no. At this point, you know,
nothing surprises me.
Yeah.
Also another thing, the weekend that they say football week, what was it? Football weekend in Canada. They said the weekend of September the 16th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three teams aren't playing that weekend. The Argos aren't playing. Red Blacks aren't playing. The Owls aren't playing. It's all Western teams and Frankenstein Football Club. So how can you exactly call that football weekend in Canada when a third of your league isn't playing? I don't know. It's just I don't know. I guess I'm either overthinking it or just whatever. But those are my thoughts behind it. But otherwise, like, the idea is a very, very good idea, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic idea. Anytime you can integrate the professional leagues into the minor leagues, kids leagues, all that stuff, it's always a good thing.
And that's all I've got this week.
And the other thing too, if you haven't already done so, Mike Hogan has a pretty interesting write up on McLeod Bethel Thompson's father,
who was great many things.
Yes. And I didn't know that that law firm's partner was an artist, poet, playwright, and screenwriter who wrote for Snowpiercer, and she's an executive producer and writer for Marvel Studios series Ironheart. And his dad did tours with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Grateful Dead. It does explain a lot when you think about that and the personality that the law firm has. Well,
father was a hippie.
Yeah, the funny thing is the picture that they show, he doesn't look much like a hippie. But you can never judge a book by its cover. All right, Will, where can they find you?
on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And don't forget, new merch alert, Rough Rider tier mugs now available, doublblueorder.ca.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Or you go directly to theargosfancast.podbean.com. Well, that does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We'll talk to you again after we win round 2 and drink some of those Rough Rider tears. Cheers, everyone.